Wow, what a song, huh? That'll get you going. I don't know what will. I needed that one. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, I'm thankful that I'm not alone up here, Lord. I'm so thankful that you go ahead of each one of us. Lord, let today be the day that we're reminded how close you are to us. And Lord, if there's anybody out there listening, watching, or here that doesn't yet know you, Lord, let today be the day that they too walk with you. In your name I pray. All right. You know, it gives me a couple minutes to get going. Got to remind myself to speak slowly. I'll tell my brothers outside, I've never had somebody tell me to pick up my pace. Never heard those words before. Many judges have said, slow down, Mr. Huete. So I'm going to make an attempt to communicate our Lord's message to you today. Fortunately for all of you, it's not about me, but the Spirit who helps not only me speak today, but helps you understand. And that's so crazy and so amazing about the Spirit. Well, the message today is called Come to the Spirit. Let's pray first. Heavenly Father, help me, Lord. Help me with this message. Help it be your words, Lord. Let your Spirit just indwell in each one of us. And let your Spirit, Lord, work today. In your name we pray. All right, so why the Spirit? Got to be honest with you, it's a little challenging preparing for this. It's one of those topics that is probably hard to understand for a lot of us. As a new Christian, I had a hard time with it. As a Catholic, I had a hard time with it. And as a born-again believer, the Lord's working on it with me. And perhaps that's why he put it in my heart to share with you. You know, let's put on the glasses. So I've asked before, if you all believe, jokingly, I think Ed and I last week were outside and talking about the most important verse in the Bible. He says, what's the first one? Right? And the way it is. If you don't believe that first verse, what I'm going to say today is going to seem crazy. If you don't believe God created you, we're hoping that the Spirit will help you today. It all starts with that first verse, doesn't it? As a matter of fact, Psalm 19:10 reminds us that all you have to do is look up the sky and you see creation. The Bible says that the sky speaks to us every day, all night. So you have to believe. You have to believe in God. Then, of course, there's John 3:16 that reminds us that he sent his only begotten Son. He sent him so that we might be saved. And that's not the message today. The message today is the other part of the Holy Trinity. There's God the Creator, the Son, who's our Savior, who was incarnated momentarily for a few years just to come down and liberate us. Let's be honest, if you don't know Christ, you're a walking dead. Anybody who doesn't know God is a walking dead. We've all seen the movie. If you don't believe, I hate to say it to you, but you're going to hell. We're all going to die. But where we go depends on you. So do you believe in the Spirit? Such a hard topic. I can't explain it either, but you know, I like it when things are brought down to a level where my children can understand, because sometimes simpler is better. My grandma used to always say, well, you know, the Holy Spirit, you know, yeah, there's God, the Son, the Holy Spirit. It's kind of like an egg, right? You heard that, the shell, the yolk, the egg. But still, to me, that didn't quite hit it. And then somebody else, you've heard this before, said, look, it's the same thing. It's just in a different form. So, you know, I like science. I'm a big of a nerd. And to me, I'm like, okay, well, it's like H2O, right? No matter how you look at water, it could be in the form of an ice. It's still H2O. Still two hydrogens and one oxygen. In water, it's still H2O. The elements are exactly the same. In vapor or mist or steam, it's still two hydrogens and one oxygen. It's the exact same form. Now, to the naked eye, we can only see ice and water, but you know, you may not see steam. You may not see vapor. It's a little bit hard to understand, right? The Spirit is described in the Bible as a counselor, helper. He's everywhere. Let's start with the first verse for today. Our main text is John 14:15. And it starts, "If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." Wow, what a promise, huh? What a covenant. What assurance that he's here with me right now. I'm a stammering fool, speaks too fast, I mumble. I don't even know why I'm here. But the Holy Spirit can work even through me. See, when I read John 14:15, there's power in the word, is there not? I can tell you what it says. But until you read it, you hear it, you feel it, doesn't matter what I say. Don't we want that power? Don't we want the Spirit? You know, the world's been looking for the Spirit since the covenant. As a matter of fact, there's movies out of it. We've all seen the Raiders of the Lost Ark, right? I mean, as a kid, I loved this movie. There's some great scenes. And what are they after? The Ark, right? The covenant of the Ark. And if you ever saw the movie, you know, if they open it, it's not good. Right? I don't want to spoil the movie for anybody who hasn't seen it. My kids haven't seen it. So, it's the Covenant of the Ark. It's a silly movie, right? But it's not. I mean, many, many governments are spending a lot of money, time, effort, looking for the Ark, even today. As a matter of fact, if Randy would pull up this document recently, up until recently, for decades, this has not been available. This is a CIA document. It's a CIA document. And thanks to our new administration, a lot of things were released. You might have heard, right? They released the JFK files. They released stuff on Area 51. They released all kinds of stuff that for decades we, you know, like to speculate on. But this was a surprise because, you know, for a government that doesn't allow my kids to speak or hear about God at church, at school, it's a godless school if you think about it. They're spending time and money and effort looking for the Ark? Are you kidding me? So in the 1980s, this came out, and it appears that our government is actually spending time and money locating the actual Ark. Let me just read the second page. You can go online. If you Google official CIA website, free document, search for the Ark, you'll come up with this. Several pages, but I want to just read, I won't take long. I'm just going to read the one page, second page of this. It says, "Target is a container. This container has another container inside of it. The target is fashioned of wood, gold, and silver. The target is similar in shape to a coffin and is decorated with seraphim. This target is located somewhere in the Middle East, as the language spoken by individuals present seemed to be Arabic. Visuals of surrounding buildings indicate the presence of mosque domes. Individuals in the area were clothed in virtually all white, had black hair and dark eyes. One figure I homed in on wore a mustache. The target is hidden underground, dark and wet were all aspects of the location of the target. The purpose of the target is to bring a people together. It has something to do with ceremony, memory, homage, the resurrection. There is an aspect of spirituality, information, lessons, and historical knowledge far beyond what we now know. The target is protected by entities and can only be opened by those who are authorized to do so. This container cannot be opened until the time is deemed correct. Once it is time to open the container, the mechanics of the lock system will be found to be fairly simple. Individuals opening the container by prying or striking are destroyed by the container's protectors through the use of a power unknown to us. Is that crazy? This is our CIA. This is your tax dollars at work, by the way. So the next time they tell you that our government is not God-believing or God-fearing, it's not true. As a matter of fact, for any of you guys who studied the Constitution, read the first page of the Constitution. God's all over it. Our country believes in God. So they're seeking the ark. They're searching the ark. What are we searching for? What are you searching for? You know, we're in an age of AI, if you haven't heard. Artificial intelligence. I haven't tried it yet, but I bet if I asked GPT chat to come up with a sermon for me, it probably would. Hey, note to self. Maybe next time. AI, they claim, is doing all kinds of crazy things. As a matter of fact, recently in the news, there's something about some cure that was discovered because of AI. It figured out how to combine existing drugs to come up with a cure for an unknown disease. Because as you know, if your disease isn't money-making, pharmaceuticals just don't spend money on it. So if you have a rare disease, good luck. AI might change that. So many people are going through great lengths to be connected to AI, GPT chat, others. What are you connected to? What do you want to be connected to? What are you relying on? Nothing wrong with AI, just like when the internet came out, nothing wrong with the internet. Are you connected to the Spirit is the question today. If you're a believer, you are connected to the Spirit. As a matter of fact, it says in John 14:10, it indwells in you, doesn't it? It's inside of you. But are you connected? Are you truly connected? It's kind of like the Wi-Fi at home, right? Sometimes my Wi-Fi doesn't come in. I have to reset it. Sometimes we have to be reset. And then when that Wi-Fi goes out, man, kids go crazy. I can't get work done. It's like, well, what do I have to do to get the Wi-Fi on? Do we have the sense of urgency to be connected to our Lord or to the Spirit? We should. The Spirit does amazing things. Let me just give you a handful of things that the Spirit does. I only have a few minutes, so there's just a few of them. There's much more. The Spirit helps you with everything. The Spirit convicts. The Spirit saves. The Spirit gives you gifts. And the Spirit indwells in you. There's a story of these three teenagers that in Texas, teenagers, 14, 15, I think 16. You're not going to believe this. Look it up, ABC News. Their mom took away their Wi-Fi. You know, most teenagers would rebel, throw a fit. These three conspired to kill their mom. Is that insane? To be connected to the Wi-Fi. Is that crazy? What would you do to be connected to the Spirit? What do we have to do to stay connected to the Spirit? Romans 8 says, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit, they do not belong to Christ. So if you're a believer, if you've accepted Christ, and there's a few new believers here, guess what? You have the Spirit inside of you, and you belong to Christ. Man, sure be easy if it was just that, right? Okay, I got saved. I'm good to go now. I'll see you in heaven. No work to be done. That's not the case, is it? As a matter of fact, when we get saved, the devil attacks. When friends and family get saved, the devil attacks. My daughter Natalie got saved recently. Don't make me cry. But since she did, the devil was attacking the family. I could tell different things. The devil was mad. And my daughter got saved. My son's saved. Everybody's getting saved. Young guys, young kids getting saved everywhere. There's a lot. Everybody's coming to Christ. Why? Why? Well, maybe his return is imminent. We don't know. But I'm ready. Are you? But see, I could talk to you about the spirit, of, the fruit of the spirits, and I want to, and I will in a second. But let me just tell you something before we look at that. There's a conflict. There's a conflict within us. There's a conflict inside of me. You know, as attorneys, we always try to avoid conflicts, especially my favorite ones are the conflict of interest. You know, you can't represent two people sometimes. It's kind of like, you know, when I used to be a realtor, you could represent the buyer, you could represent the seller. That's a bit of a conflict of interest. A lot of states don't let you do that. How could you represent the buyer and try to get as much money for the house as possible, turn around, put on your other hat, and represent the seller and try to get as much money for the house as possible? I don't see that's possible. It's not. It's called dual agency. Many states don't allow it. California, at least for a long time when I did it, you could represent buyer, seller, and help them with their loan. Talk about a conflict of interest. So we have a conflict of interest between our flesh and the spirit. As a matter of fact, that's not me saying it, by the way. You know, if you ever hear me say anything that you can't back up with this word, please ignore it. Probably doesn't make sense anyways. Just don't listen to it. If you can't back up what anybody says up here with the Bible, it's just talk. But guess what? Galatians 5:22 tells us about the fruits. But Galatians 5:16, before the Bible tells us about the fruits, it tells us about the conflict, doesn't it? It says, so I say, in Galatians 5:16, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other. See, that my words. So that you are not to do whatever you want, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Wow, pretty amazing, huh? So the same Spirit that used to be in the ark, the Spirit of God, not only indwells you when you come to Christ, but it's going to help you during these conflicts. Okay, well, let's look at the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Love's an easy one, right? We love our kids. We love our friends. Hopefully, you've all experienced some love at some point. But how about loving your enemy? How about loving the homeless guy in the corner you see every week that we just pass by? How about loving those protesters? They're protesting right now against our God. See, the flesh is the flesh. And though we're saved, sometimes we don't look with the same eyes as Christ. Our version of love is different than his version of love sometimes, isn't it? We want to love like Christ loves. Joy, same thing. Joy doesn't mean that you have good circumstances. It means even in your bad circumstances, you find joy. Same with peace. Forbearance. Kindness. Goodness. These are things I didn't have before I came to Christ. I thought I had some of them because, you know, I loved in a worldly way. I saw my own happiness, my own joy. Certainly wasn't gentle. I had no self-control. Did all these come to me the moment that I was saved? No. Did the Spirit come into me the moment I was saved? Absolutely. And the Spirit started working day by day, trial by trial, breaking down what was old Dave and bringing up what Lord and the Spirit wants. As a matter of fact, any gift we have comes from the Spirit. Not only does he help us with everything, including temptation and sin, helps us speak and witness. He helps us pray. Otherwise, we'd always pray like my little kids. You know, you ever pray with the kids? Their prayer's a little bit different, right? I want this. I need that to happen. I mean, it's like a Christmas list when the kids pray. But honestly, if it wasn't for the Spirit, mine wouldn't be much different. I'd be praying to, you know, beat Brad at golf. I'd be praying to, you know, be taller and better looking. I mean, there's a lot of things I want. Bigger house, bigger car. I mean, isn't that what the flesh wants? But the Bible says it's contrary to the Spirit. So it kind of makes me wonder, okay, when I pray, certainly when I pray for others, I feel the Spirit's in it. But when I pray for my own selfish needs, I don't know. Is that really in the will of the Lord? We don't know. You hope it is. Even praying helps you. Is that amazing? We don't need somebody to pray for us. It's nice they pray for us, but you've got direct bat phone to Him. You know, when I was a kid, you know, we're non-denominational. We just believe in the Bible. But when I was a kid, like a lot of us, you know, come from different religions. And as a Catholic, you're told how to pray. You know, you memorize a few verses, a few Hail Marys, and you think you're good. That's not the Holy Spirit helping you pray. But the Bible says, not me, the Bible says the Spirit's inside you. So that even when you pray, it'll be aligned to His will. Gifts. You know He gives us gifts too? But the Spirit does. In 1 Corinthians 12 it says He distributes gifts as He wills. Isn't that nuts? I thought I was responsible for my gifts. Of course, you know, if it was up to me, I'd have the voice like Taylor. That's not my gift. You don't want to hear me sing. That's why I sit in the front row. I like to sing. Brings glory to God. Nobody else, but brings glory to God. And it helps me. You know, isn't it interesting how when you vocalize something, when you pray to Abba Father, you know, a lot of how you physically are, I mean, it goes hand in hand with prayer, doesn't it? I mean, when you kneel, when you pray, it's different. When you're crying, it's different. When you raise your arms to the Lord, when you're, I mean, it's so different, right? It's like the Spirit really helps you pray because He indwells in us. He gives us gifts, and all our gifts are different. The gifts are not there to glorify us. They're there to glorify God. So you listen to the flesh or the Spirit? When I get angry, it's the flesh. When I have loving eyes, it's the Spirit. When I look at a drug addict or homeless guy with judgmental eyes, that's my flesh. When I look at him with the eyes of Christ and pray for him, that's the Spirit. I don't know if you all know who Jelly Roll is. Last night I was watching TV, and he used to be a drug dealer. And I believe he's a Christian now because he sings a song with Brandon Lake, I think it is. It's amazing. He used to sell fentanyl. And now, if you YouTube him, he's actually in front of the Senate preaching against it. Only the Spirit can take a fentanyl drug dealer and convert him to singing with Brandon Lake, for crying out loud. You know, he gave a statistic. He said every day, 289, something like that, people die every day of fentanyl overdose. That's like a jetliner every day. Can you imagine if every day you heard Boeing 727 went down, Boeing 747 went down, another plane went down every day? Could you imagine? But because they're drug addicts, they don't care. Nobody cares. Christ cares. Christ cares. I care. You care. I know. I'm running out of time. I have so many more verses. You know, you can speak in the Holy Spirit for days. I'm not going to give it justice today. I want you to go to your Bibles afterwards and start diving into the Holy Spirit. There's so much there. You know, many people say, wow, you know, I can't wait to go to heaven. And I can't wait either. Many people say, wow, if I would have just been around when Jesus was around, if I had just known Jesus. But can I tell you something? Well, actually, it might have it better. Let me tell you why. Look, let's look at the Bible again. John 16:7. It's a beautiful verse. You know, the disciples didn't want him to go away. The disciples would have had him stay there forever if they could. But, you know, his ways are much better than our ways, aren't they? And in John 16:7, it says, but very truly I tell you, not just truly, very truly, but very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Wow. Man, I thought the only benefit of him dying on the cross for me and my sins so that I could be saved. But there's more. If he hadn't left, we wouldn't have the Spirit here right now today. Isn't that beautiful? God is so good. We have it better than the disciples. John 16:8 reminds us, when he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. He convicts. Do you hear the Spirit today? You see, maybe convicting you. You know, I'm not going to get into what. I'm not going to get into what the Spirit doesn't want you to do. We know. It says in the Bible, do you grieve the Holy Spirit when you go back to your old self? So see, that conflict I was talking about a minute ago, the daily conflict of interest, that you wake up with that flesh every day until we get to heaven. Every day you got to do your devotion. If I'm not every day in the Word, the flesh is an advantage. But if I'm in the Spirit, the Bible says, when you're in the Spirit, you cannot be in the flesh. See, I don't care what your vice is. I don't care what your sin was before Christ. You're in Christ now. Stay in the Spirit. Sylvia used to always say, you know, find a substitute. Yeah, find a substitute hobby. Another vice, a healthy vice. It's amazing when you're doing something good, you can't be doing something bad. He convicts us. Romans 8:14. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. See, you all can cry Abba, Father when you pray to him. He's going to listen to you. Do you have to reset your Wi-Fi? Are you totally connected to the Spirit? Here's my favorite part. Maybe one of the most important things. You see, before I was saved, and if anybody out there is not saved yet, even before you are saved, the Spirit's working in you. As a matter of fact, none of us came to the Lord without the Spirit of the Lord. Because it's the Spirit that convicted me before I gave in. And I said, okay, no more running away, Lord. I was in a different country running away. But the Spirit convicted me. I know my time's up. But let me ask you a question. If you know the Lord, is the Spirit helping you pray? Is the Spirit helping you with every endeavor in your life? Every job? Every interview? Is the Spirit helping you in your marriage? Is the Spirit convicting you? But here's the most amazing part. For those who don't yet know the Lord, come to the Spirit today. Come today. Today could be your day. Don't wait. There's always excuses. I remember I used to say, nah, you know what, I'm going to wait till I stop doing this. Because that's not very Christian-like. I'm going to wait till I'm a little bit better. I'm not so much of a sinner. Because I'm not ready. No. Christ wants you to come as you are. So if you don't know Christ yet, what do you have to do? Well, Peter said in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of Holy Spirit today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this reminder that you're with us right now, that you're in here today, that you're in our hearts, you indwell us, you guide us, you help us, you convict us. More importantly, Lord, you saved us through your Spirit. If there's anybody here today that's feeling the Spirit nudge him, Lord, let today be the day. Let the Spirit come in. Let them accept you today. In your name we pray. Amen.